Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 16th day of January 2023. Many of you may have seen publicity for today's program that informed you that our guest today was going to be Reformed apologist and documentarian Jerry Johnson, perhaps most well known for creating the DVD series Amazing Grace, The History and Theology of Calvinism, that came out, I think, over 20 years ago. Jerry was originally scheduled to be on the program. He was going to be discussing with me a brotherly critique of dispensationalism. And then Jerry informed me that he had to postpone our interview because he is attending the funeral of a friend today. So I just wanted to make you aware of the fact that that is why Jerry is not with us today. But I'm thrilled that a brother was very enthusiastic over taking Jerry's place on the show today. I thank him for his willingness to do so with late notice. And this contact came about providentially while I was looking for a theologically sound church for the daughter of a friend in the Tampa Bay area. So I am delighted that God's providence and sovereignty led me to discover a wonderful brother, Gary Carter, who is pastor of Free Grace Church of Tampa Bay, Florida. And today we're going to be addressing something similar to what Jerry Johnson was intending to cover, but this would be a much more personal story of that critique of dispensationalism. We're going to be discussing the theme, From Dallas to London, The Journey of a Dallas Theological Seminary Graduate into Reformed Theology and the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Gary Carter.
Thank you, Chris.
And Gary, before we go into your story, tell our listeners about Free Grace Church of Tampa Bay, Florida.
Before I do that, I'll let you know that it's been over 20 years ago, Jerry Johnson asked me to do a debate between covenant theology and dispensationalism.
Wow.
And we did that in Brandon, Florida.
Oh, so it actually occurred.
Yeah, I did. I told him that I would prefer to do just, we both share teachings, but he liked the debate format.
And so do I. I've arranged about 30 debates over the last two decades, or even longer than that. I began organizing them in 1996. And so I absolutely love debates as long as the participants are handling themselves appropriately.
Yes.
And right. In fact, the vast majority of the debates that I arranged, they did, although there was a couple of debates where the opponent of Reformed theology got a little heated, but God still enabled the events to be productive and edifying. But so that's a good that's a good thing.
I had a small son at the time who, when I came home, he said, "How did the auction go?" And I said, "Well, it really wasn't what it was." So, yes, the Free Grace Church, we started in 1990, and it's free grace, as in the Shorter Catechism. Justification is an act of God's free grace. Adoption is an act of God's free grace. Sanctification is an act of God's free grace. So it's that kind of free grace, Reformed Baptist. And
yes, I know why you're probably mentioning that. There is an unfortunate situation where there are Christians and pastors and churches who are heretical, that are using the term free grace to describe themselves. And what they mean by that is that repentance is not necessary for salvation, and that a truly regenerate Christian need not bear the fruits of repentance and godly lives and obedience, albeit imperfect ones. They insist that that is not a requirement to show that as an evidence for salvation. So basically,
we were originally a Tampa Reformed Baptist church, and the term is for drive-by people. They do not understand it. So someone said, "Well, why did you change to Free Grace?" And I said, "To make more Reformed Baptists is the purpose." I actually read a note from someone that it said among the Puritan writers, one of the most used phrases in summarizing what they believe is free grace. The Puritans used it constantly. They'd say, "Well, what are we saying? That's God's free grace. So it's free and sovereign, unchangeable, effectual, that distinguishing, so forth." So we started in 1990, and we've continued to grow spiritually, I believe. And Florida is a very transient state. People move here, and then they start missing their relatives up north, and they go back, and or they move around. And so we've had a lot of people that have come and gone, but we're very thankful. So 1990 was our first service.
Well, praise God. And by the way, is the, I don't think I asked you this yet, but is the video of the debate that you did, that Jerry Johnson organized with you, where you were defending Reformed theology against a dispensationalist opponent, is that available anywhere?
You know, Jerry would know that. I don't have a copy of it.
Okay, well, I will make sure I let or ask Jerry that after the show today. And if anybody wants, go ahead.
It's an old one, but it was a good time.
Good. Well, if anybody wants more details on the Free Grace Church of Tampa Bay, Florida, which is specifically in Lutz, Florida.
Yes.
The website is TampaReformedBaptistChurch.com. TampaReformedBaptistChurch.com. And God willing, I will be repeating that toward the end of the program. Well, before we actually go into your journey from Dallas Theological Seminary into Reformed theology in the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, I want to hear the earlier part of your story. Whenever we have a first-time guest on the program, which you are one, we have that guest give a summary of their salvation testimony, which would include the kind of family atmosphere they were raised in religiously, if any, and the kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. And I want to hear your story.
Okay, well, I was born in 1954, and I grew up in a small town in Ohio, where Kentucky, Ohio, and West Virginia meet. And something special about small town America in late 50s, early 60s, we had prayers over the intercom. We had pastors come in and do preach to us in special services, and they read the daily bread or whatever every day and said the Lord's Prayer. And so it was a nice little town. The my family situation had a lot of difficulties. My father and my stepfather both were in severe problem with alcohol. They were alcoholics. We didn't go to church. But I was invited to a church camp when I graduated from high school. So I was pretty much involved with things unbelieving teenagers were involved in. And so I said, well, what is church camp? And they said, well, we play ball, we have wiener roast, we camp out, we do all these things and play sports. And I said, and they pay for it. And they said, yes. But I didn't realize they had Bible studies all day. They left that out. So I went. The first night there, it was a man probably in his 30s. He challenged everyone, do you know if you're going to heaven? Raise your hand. So everybody raised their hands. And he said, now how many just raise your hands and you really don't understand it? You don't know that. You don't have any reason to believe that. And he really pressed it. And I realized how ignorant I was. I didn't understand anything. And so later that night, we had a man who was a chaperone from a local church in the bunk, and he was going to read scripture and pray before we went to bed. And he read Acts chapter 16. And in that chapter, when the Philippian jailer asked, what must I do to be saved? And Paul told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I don't know how to explain it, but it was just written on my heart. I grasped it. God gave me the faith to believe it. And so my first prayer, I remember later going to bed, and was, I said, Lord, my first thought was I don't want to go to hell, but what I really want is you. What I really want is you and to live for you and to know the Bible. So then I started studying the Bible, and God just gave me a hunger for it. I just couldn't get enough of it. We used to, on Friday nights, if you had a car, you would shine up your car and get your 8-track tapes out, go to the local hamburger stand and drive around to see and be seen. And I remember I was getting ready to go. The first Friday night I got home and I said, I could be home studying the Bible. Why am I doing this? So I just had this amazing hunger for the Word of God. And I got involved in a little Baptist church, a pastor was like a father to me and took great interest in me. And he preached. And so I had some friends who were, these were men probably in their 30s. They said, you should come up to a Bible college that's been started. It was for, a lot of times it was for pastors who had no theological education. They, along the High River, there were a lot of factories, and they're pretty much closed now, but those factories were had shift work. And so if you worked midnights or days or whatever, you could come and take classes at two different times during the day and get your classes in if you work shift work, because a lot of the pastors worked in these factories. And so there were, these men were from Dallas Seminary that started the Bible college. So I got started studying the Bible. And so really everybody I knew was dispensational. I didn't really even know what it meant. I just knew they believed in a rapture and tribulation period. It was the Left Behind movies were out at that time. And this is 1972. And so, but as I grew, I just wanted to witness, to evangelize, to be near to God's people. And I wanted to be at church every time the doors were open. No one told me that you don't have to come to the business meeting, which was unpleasant to see the brothers arguing.
or the most entertaining, it depends on which way you want to look at it.
And so somebody warned me about that. So, but the young people didn't come to church after the summer. And so I found my fellowship was with all these older saints. And there was no generation gap. You know, they love the Lord, they love the word, and I just had great fellowship with them. And then eventually I graduated from a high university, and I was taking classes at the seminary. They had a couple of men there who were really strong in languages. There was a man who formerly was a lumberjack, then he became a missionary to the Jews, and then he taught Hebrew. And so I got 2 years of Hebrew with him. I got a year of Greek because I was constantly teaching either young people or assistant for the adults, and just God brought that desire in my heart to, 1 Timothy 3 says, to teach, to preach, to live God's word. And so I was going to go to seminary, and so obviously I went to Dallas, and I wanted to get a head start on the languages. So then I went to Dallas, and of course I met my wife, and we got married before I went. Her name is Lavina. We've been married 47 years.
Praise God.
I'm so thankful for that. So then I really went to seminary with a desire to know the word, and they had some men there at the time who, I don't know why they were really there. They were more reformed in doctrine, but
S. Lewis Johnson, perhaps?
S. Lewis Johnson, Bruce Waltke, by the name of John Hanna, and Ed Bloom, who I think is in charge of the translation revisions for the Holman Christian Standard Bible. And these men were the most well-read. There was just something different about them. And they were much more reformed in their doctrine. But I didn't understand all that. But toward the end of the seminary, I took a class on revivals. And we looked at really pretty much the Calvinistic revivals. And were warned about Finney, which I was thankful for that. And
really, at Dallas Theological Seminary, you were warned against Finney?
Yeah, with this professor, John Hanna.
Okay, yeah, well, he was one of the ones that you said was reformed-leaning, right?
Yes.
Because it's very hard to find. It's hard to find dispensationalists who are critical of Charles Finney.
Yes, and so he said, buy all the Banner of Truth books you can get. He said, I've never been disappointed in them, and so I did that. I began to get Banner of Truth books, and of course we're moving into this dispensational element now, if that's all right.
Oh yeah, and just wanted to quickly say I had the honor and privilege to share lunch with S. Lewis Johnson when he was a speaker at what was called the John Bunyan Conference, which is an annual event that was held in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, and New Ringgold as well later on. And he was one of the speakers, and I had the privilege. I think he actually providentially said, you mind if I sit next to you? And he sat down next to me, and we had a wonderful conversation. And he told me the story of how when he became a believer in definite or limited atonement or particular redemption, he was basically forced to resign from Dallas's factory. Basically, it was kind of like the Godfather. They gave him an offer he couldn't refuse or something. they basically gave him the realization that there was no alternative other than for him to resign. So,
you know, I remember that's one of my experiences there. A number of us wanted to go hear S. Lewis Johnson talk about limited atonement. And so we went to Believer's Chapel, and he was going to teach us that. And he surprised us. We were ready for deep exegesis and historical, even philosophical. He covered all the bases. But he said, you ask me who did Christ die for? He said, my answer is who is saved? And he said, that's my answer. That's who he died for.
Praise God.
And he kept going. He kept going around on that. Like, you ask me, who did he die for? Well, who's in heaven? That's the ones he died for. Who did he die for? Those who are going to be saved. So he always connected the cross with the effectual work. He wasn't trying to save. He was actually saving. And it ended up, it was a surprising, he surprised us eager students with this very straightforward, emphatic teaching. And that was beautiful.
Praise God. And we're going to go to our first station break right now. If you have a question for my guest, Gary Carter, please submit it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you are a member of a dispensationalist church and you don't feel comfortable asking a certain question. Perhaps you're going through a journey of your own where you are departing from that theological system and also an eschatological system that you are leaving. Perhaps you've already departed that in your heart and mind, but you're still a member of that church and you feel uncomfortable identifying yourself. Well, I understand that. You may feel free to remain anonymous. But please, if it's just a general question, if it's not a personal and private issue, please give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. And by the way, I also wanted to make it clear, and I'm sure my guest today, Gary Carter, would agree with this. And by the way, this is not the baseball great from the New York Mets, Gary Carter. This is a different Gary Carter. I want to make it clear to our listeners, and I'm very confident Gary would agree with me, that we are not seeking to vilify dispensationalists. One of my greatest living heroes is John MacArthur, who, although I disagree with his dispensationalism and his eschatology, I agree with the vast majority of what he and his ministry stand for. And in my opinion, dispensationalist seems to be on a much lower rung on the ladder of importance with him. Those issues don't seem to dominate his sermons or his books. And in fact, when he wrote the Gospel According to Jesus, he was standing almost all alone as a dispensationalist, fighting against easy believism and cheap grace, which unfortunately was being taught very heavily, even at Dallas Theological Seminary, where my guest today was a student. So I just wanted to make that clear. We are just being open and honest about our differences with dispensationalism, especially my guest is doing that. And since I am a Reformed Baptist, a confessional Reformed Baptist, I think it's an important distinction, although not one to separate fellowship with dear brethren who still embrace that system. It is just a matter of standing for the truths as I see them and as my guest sees them. So I just want you to be aware of that. I do have quite a number of listeners who are dispensationalists who love the show. In fact, there was a very strong financial supporter of this show when we first launched the program. And it was because of this man that we did first launch the program. Pastor Ron Glass, the former pastor of Wading River Baptist Church, Wading River, Long Island, a thoroughgoing dispensationalist and a thoroughgoing Calvinist. And Ron knew of my differences with him on these things, but he insisted on helping financially to relaunch my program after I moved from New York to Pennsylvania. And he became my very first sponsor of this broadcast. So I do have a very strong, heartfelt attachment to many dispensationalists. So again, we're not vilifying them. We're not trying to present this as heresy, something that jeopardizes one's salvation or anything like that. We are just talking about important differences that brethren in Christ grapple over, and hopefully when they are debating one another, and having discussions with one another about these differences, they do so hopefully in love. But just to let you know that that's where we are coming from today. And again, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with Gary Carter right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I've been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jansen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the entire program is, is Pastor Gary Carter of Free Grace Church of Tampa Bay, Florida, a Reformed Baptist church in that area. We are discussing From Dallas to London, the journey of a Dallas Theological Seminary graduate into Reformed theology in the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. If you have a question, submit it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. Before I forget to ask this question, I am dying to find out how you initially made contact with a man who has become a great hero of many who are Reformed Baptists, who was the founder, the very founder of the church where I am a member in the late 1950s, Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. I believe it was called Grace Chapel of Carlisle at that time. And the man's name is Ernie Riesinger, who not only founded this church, but later would labor alongside Tom Askell at Grace Baptist Church of Cape Coral, Florida, where Tom Askell leads Founders Ministries, a Calvinistic movement within the Southern Baptist Convention. But tell us about that initial meeting and or how you initially became aware of Ernie Riesinger and how a friendship developed.
Yes, that's a great honor in my life to have known Ernie. And if we're not in any hurry, I would like to give a lead into that.
Sure, we are not in any hurry at all.
Okay. All right. Well, so I began to read History of Revivals and different men like Whitfield, Edwards, Brainerd, and the Scottish Revivals, McShane and Burns and so forth. And as I did, I just noticed the way they talked about the Christian life was so much more rich and full. And Whitfield would say things like, keep close to your evidences. Well, you never heard that in dispensational circles. I didn't. So, and then I heard about this booklet that Ernie Riesinger wrote on what shall we do with the carnal Christian? Because that was part of Lewis Berry Chafer's theme of who is spiritual and who's carnal. And he showed that in 1 Corinthians 3, it's really, they were arguing over whether they liked Apollos or Peter or Paul better. Who's your favorite preacher? And he said, that's childish, it's carnal. It wasn't that these were ungodly people, and he called them carnal Christians. And it was such a help to me as he just explained that and then explained the true evidences of regeneration. And I happened to, my mother was living in St. Petersburg. And so when I came to St. Petersburg, I did try to get in touch with Ernie, and I visited him. And I was invited to the Founders Conference at Rhodes College. This was in the mid-80s, I guess. And I got to meet him, talk to him, and I'd visit him in his home also. And he'd give me books. He always gave people books. So it was a great help to me to know him. He did come and do a commissioning service when we started the church in Tampa. And he preached on being a preacher, but he really emphasized the illustration from Pilgrim's Progress, which he loved, on the story at Interpreter's House, the man who had the Bible in front of him, the world behind him. And it was just a wonderful summary of what it means to be a preacher of the word. So Ernie was a great help to me, and I'm very thankful that God brought him into my life.
By the way, if anybody is interested in learning more about this great modern-day hero of the Reformed Baptist, Ernest Riesinger, a biography is in print by my dear friend Jeff Thomas, who many of you have heard on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I've interviewed Jeff Thomas frequently on this broadcast, and he wrote the biography of Ernest Riesinger, available at the Banner of Truth, and you can order that through banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org, but I would actually prefer that you order it through sponsors of this program, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, CV for Cumberland Valley, BBS for Bible Book Service, .com, CVBBS.com, and they carry all of the Banner of Truth's titles there. But so you became friends with Ernie. And by the way, was Ernie still pastoring in Carlisle at that time, or was he down in Florida?
Oh, no, he was in Cape Coral.
Okay.
And he would send me on some errands. He had me preach at Pompano Beach, things like this. And it was just a real privilege to have a connection with him.
Yes, I had developed a friendship with his brother, John Riesinger, and John was on the opposite side of the perpetuity of the Decalogue issue with his own brother, Ernie. Yes. I benefited greatly nonetheless from John Riesinger's preaching and teaching, and used to attend his conferences every year for quite a bit, the aforementioned John Bunyan conferences. So the, both of them are now in heaven, and now they're in full agreement with each other.
Yes, that's right. That's right. You know, another, I found that as I began to read these Banner of Truth books on the revival, it just brought me in contact with different authors, and I found their descriptions of the Christian life and how they use the Bible so much richer. I would find if they would use the minor prophets and Isaiah and Romans and Ephesians all mixed together. It was just walking with God, knowing God. And they had that understanding of the unity of the Bible. I think that was the key thing for me, that the Bible is one book, God has one people, and they are the elect, the regenerate, and the redeemed. That's what defines them.
Now,
so I,
go ahead.
Yeah,
no, go ahead.
I read a Robert Louis Dabney's article on the Plymouth Brethren. And he said they tend to emphasize positional and practical truth. Well, positional would be like justification, and practical is what you do about it. He said, but they leave out experiential, the regeneration. And that shows why you can end up with supposedly carnal Christians, is if you don't understand regeneration and there's a true change, that's a very defective view of Christian life.
Yes.
So Dabney was very helpful on that. And it was, interestingly, he was critiquing the Plymouth Brethren, which is foundational to dispensationalism.
Now, this issue is one of the core issues of basically what you would find to be, and what most Reformed Christians would find to be, deficient theology, aberrant theology amongst the dispensationalists. One of the reasons why you departed from that system is that, and of course not in every occasion, because John MacArthur seems to be a very stark contrast against the backdrop of the majority of dispensationalism on the issue that you just mentioned. But it seemed to have been, especially in the 80s, I can remember, it was dispensationalism was a breeding ground for those who staunchly opposed the insistence upon repentance as a mark of true conversion and salvation, and to such the point that some of these dispensationalists would label us as dangerous heretics. I'm not saying that they all would, but some would. They seem to think erroneously that we were teaching a works righteousness salvation much akin to what the Church of Rome dogmatically teaches. And in fact, I can even remember years ago meeting John Ankerberg at a conference, and I think John must have been more enlightened about the issue later on, because he actually had John MacArthur and D. James Kennedy and R.C. Sproul do a documentary in opposition to the Evangelicals and Catholics Together document after this meeting I had with John Ankerberg. Yes. But when I... Mm-hmm. But when I said to John Ankerberg, this is way before, long before I had my own show, I said, did you ever think of having John MacArthur on to debate somebody who opposes lordship salvation? And he said, well, my only problem with John is that I think he would have a hard time presenting the gospel successfully to a Roman Catholic. And I said, why? What do you mean? And he said, well, his position is too close to theirs in teaching works being necessary for salvation. I said, John, you haven't read John MacArthur's book. He doesn't teach that at all. But that seems to be what many dispensationalists think that we are teaching, right?
Yes, and I believe that There was a local station here that took MacArthur off for a while out of concern for that. But for some reason, I'm very thankful. I remember the first time I heard about what he called Lordship Salvation. I said, well, that's right. I heard it instantly. I said, that's right. That's, you have to repent, believe. Christ has to be your Lord. That's one of the effects of regeneration. So, yes, but in reading these men like the Scottish revivalists, Whitfield, Edwards, like Edwards' book on the Treatise on the Religious Affections, he really spells out how the soul works with perceptions and inclinations that are the root of, rooted in regeneration, and there's ongoing evidences in the Christian life. So we, when we have a baptism, we, three things especially, we focus on the explaining to the person about giving a testimony is tell us how you realized you were lost. A lot of people don't realize they're lost. And then how are you saved? What in your relationship with Christ? And then what are the ongoing evidences? And so that's really, those three things are essential for a true testimony.
Amen. I agree with you.
Well, all this I saw really developing as I was reading this wonderful Puritan literature and meeting people like Dabney. Of course, Ian Murray's books were very helpful to me. And I just found I drifted away from dispensationalism for something better.
Amen.
Just a better view of Christian life. So then I had this idea. I don't know where I got it at, but I said, well, I'm going to read through the whole Bible and study every chapter of the Bible, because I was living in Wisconsin at the time and we were snowed in from the end of October till sometimes the end of April. I had plenty of time to study. And so I wanted to take the principles of the New Covenant, as mentioned by Jeremiah and in Hebrews, the forgiveness and the regeneration, write his law upon your hearts, and this, I'll be your God and they shall know me, knowing God, and go through every chapter of the Bible and see if I see that throughout the Bible. And so it took me about 5 years. I went through a chapter a day, and but really not more than 20 in a month, because I really couldn't digest it all. And so after about 5 years, I made through the whole, all the scriptures, and it was just this wonderful time being stuck in the snow, studying the Word of God, that really prepared me for it. And this is after I'd been to seminary, and it just was God's wonderful dealing with me. And I ended up Reformed Baptist when I came out.
Amen. And by the way, in case anybody is saying, especially if they are close friends of the late Ernest Riesinger, or at least followers of his ministry and readers of his literature, they think I am mispronouncing his last name. That's because initially Ernie did pronounce his, in fact, for most of his life, pronounced his name, his own last name, Riesinger, but he later started pronouncing it Riesinger after he discovered that was the more appropriate German pronunciation. And that was another thing that divided him and John. They pronounced their own last name differently.
Okay. I understand that.
And before we go to the midway break, unless you have something else you'd like to say on that same thread that you were discussing, give us another reason why you left dispensationalism. We've already discussed a very important issue, how the majority of it, not all of dispensationalism, I've been trying to repeat that, I don't want a broad brush, but perhaps predominantly dispensationalism is opposed to the idea that repentance is necessary for salvation, because they think wrongly that must mean that you believe in some form of works righteousness, which is a totally false and slanderous accusation against Reformed people who don't even believe a person's own will is involved in his salvation, let alone his deeds. But if you could, pick another reason why this is an aberrant system to you.
Well, as I worked through these scriptures, I found that the Old Testament had a gospel hope. They had a gospel hope. They were looking forward to the Messiah to come and bring in everlasting righteousness, Messiah to crush the serpent's head, Messiah to save a people from all the nations. And that's exactly what the New Testament is. So you hear people say, well, Christ didn't fulfill the prophecies. He did with his crucifixion and his resurrection and his present work. So you have the Psalm 110, the Christ reigning at the right hand. And when I studied the ascension, I lost my millennium because I saw in this ascension all the glory of Christ and him pouring out the Spirit, saving a people throughout the nations. And as Isaiah 51:8, I believe, says that my salvation is from generation to generation. So he would save a people from all the nations throughout the generations, and that's what he would do, and he did. He's doing it. So it just, to me, the theme was the unity of the Bible. It all fit together. And the differences are easy. The getting rid of the physical sacrifices and things like that, well, Christ fulfilled them. But to be able to read through the whole Bible and see how to walk God and know him and live for him, I heard one man say, don't take away the bread from God's children. If you make everything refer to a future 1,000 years on earth in the Old Testament, then that's supposed to be what we live on today.
In fact, I want you to return to that very point when we return from our midway break.
Okay.
We're going to our longer than normal break, folks. Please be patient with us because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them to air public service announcements and other local things that localize geographically this program to Lake City, Florida. While they do that, we air our own globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information provided by our advertisers as you possibly can so that you can more successfully and frequently contact our advertisers. We hope that you, at least on occasion, purchase their products, use their services, visit their churches, etc. But when you cannot do any of those things, I'm asking you to do something everybody can do. If you really love this show and you're really grateful that there are people and organizations out there sharing some of the money that God blessed them with Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, if you're grateful about that they are helping to keep us on the air, please tell them that. Please thank them for sponsoring this show. And also, obviously, submit your questions to Gary Carter on our theme from Dallas to London, the journey of a Dallas Theological Seminary graduate into Reformed theology and the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. Send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Gary Carter after these messages.
James White of Alvin Bega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd to the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia, on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
You're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, once said, "Growing a beard is a habit most natural, scriptural, manly, and beneficial." Grace and peace to all the Iron Sharpens Iron listeners. This is Tony with TheStandardBeardCare.com. That's right, TheStandardBeardCare.com is a Christ-exalting, better-known and simple name in beard care. So if you have a beard, know a guy with a beard, or ladies, if you're married to a man with a beard, head over to TheStandardBeardCare.com. Check out the vast array of all-natural, handcrafted products to make that beard scriptural, manly, and beneficial. And when you do so, you will help to support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. When you use the promo code IRON at checkout, you will receive free shipping to anywhere in the lower 48, and 10% of your donations will go back to Chris Arnzen and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So head over to TheStandardBeardCare.com, where the standard is the standard.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Romaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfucco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome.
Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest today, Gary Carter, who is pastor of Free Grace Church of Tampa Bay, Florida, we are discussing the theme from Dallas to London, the journey of a Dallas Theological Seminary graduate into Reformed theology and the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. And we are going to be returning to that discussion momentarily, but I just have some important announcements to make. If you love this show, folks, please support our advertisers. And that means whenever you can, frequently visit solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com. That is the website for Solid Ground Christian Books. And they are a primary, a premier, a vital sponsor of this program. Were they to ever cancel their advertising campaign with us, we would likely have to go off the air, barring a financial miracle from God. So please go to solid-ground-books.com for all your gift-giving needs and also to replenish your own library. And believe me, you're not just going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print and also publish for the first time nothing but the very finest in Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our present day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. At solid-ground-books.com, as I said, please visit that site frequently, purchase generously, always mention to them that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, folks, if you really love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly to this program with a debit or credit card. And if you prefer snail mail, the old-fashioned way of mailing a physical check to a physical address, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you want to advertise is compatible with what we believe, let's say you want to advertise your church, you want to advertise your parachurch ministry, your business, your private professional practice like a law firm or a medical malpractice, I'm thinking of Dan Buttafuoco's ad for medical malpractice and personal injury cases. But if you want to advertise your medical practice or even a special event of some kind that you're having, as long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what we believe, we would love to help you launch an ad campaign immediately, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. We are really suffering financially ever since the hysteria from the coronavirus and the unconstitutional mandates have really made many people in this country and even around the world suffer financially, not only in diminishment of income, but even on occasion, people who have lost family-owned businesses that were open for generations. Not only are the listeners suffering financially, but that has led to us receiving far less in donations monthly. We have never bounced back from that, folks. So if you love the show and want it to continue to air, please help us out. Go to IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. I also want to remind you that I never want anybody listening, as much as we need your financial help, I never want anybody listening to give your own church where you are a member less money than you're accustomed to giving that church in order to bless us with a financial gift. In other words, do not cut into the money that you have set aside for your giving every Lord's Day in order to bless us. Never do that. And also, if you're really struggling to survive financially, I don't want to be the cause of an even higher mountain of unpaid bills mounting up on your kitchen table, and I don't want to be the cause of the dinner plates being less full than they used to. Providing for your church and providing for your family are clear commands of God in Scripture. Providing for this radio show is obviously not a command, but if you love the show, you don't want it to disappear, and you do have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you do have extra money for recreational, trivial, and benevolent purposes, please share some of that money with us so that we can continue to exist if you love the show. Go to IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where you live in the world, I may be able to help you find a church that is biblically faithful, such as Free Grace Church of Tampa Bay, Florida. I have extensive lists spanning the globe, and I have helped many people all over the world in our audience find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. So if you are in that predicament, you do not have a church home that you are confident is biblically faithful, then please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to our guest today, Gary Carter, as we continue in our brotherly critique of dispensationalism and talking about his own personal journey out of dispensationalism into Reformed theology. chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Pastor Carter, you were talking earlier about one of the other reasons why you believe you began to distrust and eventually abandon the dispensationalist system was this emphasis on an earthly millennium, and if perhaps you could pick up where you left off there.
Yes, that was a big change. But what I found was sometimes God uses the most simple, straightforward things in the scriptures to tell you what he wants you to know. I was reading 2 Peter chapter 3 about the coming of the Lord and that the elements will melt with a fervent heat, the earth and the things in it will be burned up, and then will come a new heavens and new earth. So if that happens at the coming of Christ, there's no room for an earthly 1,000 years. It's that simple. When he comes, we go into eternity. So that, to me, was a very straightforward, and you're not depending on some prophetic, figurative text. It's a very straightforward epistle, and Peter spells it out very plainly that when he comes, that's it. We go into eternity rather than into an earthly 1,000 years. Well, it did raise a lot of other questions I had to look at, but that was the, if you interpret the clear by the unclear or the unclear by the clear, there's a clear one. And that certainly is a good principle of hermeneutics. I remember, and of course you have all the things about the animal sacrifices, which Hebrews says are done away with, to have animal sacrifices in an earthly temple. Just does not, I think, fit with the unity of the Bible. So many things like that. Also, the old, what do we call the apostolic hermeneutic, How did the apostles interpret the Old Testament? That's the true interpretation because they were inspired by the Spirit. So, for example, Acts chapter 15, you find that James says that this is the fulfillment of Amos 9, that when it says that God's brought Simon to bring in, he used Simon to take a people out of the Gentiles for his own name, his own glory. And he's saying that this is the fulfillment of the book of Amos chapter 9, that I will return and rebuild the tabernacle of David, and that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name. So that's an apostolic interpretation of Amos chapter 9. And I found that repeatedly, if you look at the quotes in the New Testament of the Old Testament, they're actually interpreting it for you. So why shouldn't we listen to the apostolic hermeneutic? It's a very powerful principle. And there are many examples of that, surprising ones. Of course, Romans 9, he says, has the word of God become of no effect? Did God not fulfill his promises? The answer is, well, certainly not, because the elect have always obtained it. The elect of every generation, Jacob, not Esau, but and through on through the history of the Bible. Not of him who wills, but of him who runs, or him who runs, but as God who shows mercy. So the elect obtained it, the rest were hardened, and so the Bible spells it out very plainly. Another surprising one is 2 Corinthians 6, where the apostle says that we are sons and daughters of the Almighty. And he's explaining 2 Samuel 7, which is that it's a quote that God would make David his son and the kingly line and those who are united to the king, the risen Christ himself, they will be the sons and daughters of God. Now, surprisingly, in the same passage, just the verse before that, he says, I will dwell in them and walk among them and be their God, and they shall be my people. And he's quoting Leviticus 26. In the midst of all the descriptions of what God would do with Israel, Paul quotes that as describing the church. So these are things you don't hear unless you're specifically asking, how does the New Testament interpret the Old Testament? And Christ himself said, the scriptures speak of me. And he taught the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He went through the scriptures, the Psalms, the prophets, the writings, and showed how the things concerning him, they have a fulfillment. So that's 1 Peter 2 as well. He takes the descriptions of Israel, a holy nation, peculiar people, and he applies them to the church among the Gentiles. First Peter is written to those in Cappadocia and Bithynia.
Yes.
That's not Israelites, you know. And he says, this is, it's the fulfillment of it. So it's an apostolic hermeneutic. It's a very powerful thing. Then you have Galatians 3, those who are Christ or Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It seems to be just as plain as day. So when you try to separate the church from Israel, I remember I was reading J.A. Alexander's commentary on Isaiah. He gives you one sentence summaries of almost of each verse or section of the chapter, and then gives you a detailed explanation of it. And he's constantly showing how that this is fulfilled in the church. And when Christ said, I'll build my church, I think the dispensationalists or myself, you think, well, how could they even know what that meant if it was not in the Old Testament? But the word ecclesia, there are dictionaries that give you all the uses of ecclesia in the Septuagint, which the New Testament used, a Greek translation of the Bible. And so ecclesia is about 100 times in the Old Testament and about 100 times in the New Testament. So the ecclesia, those called out of God, those his assembly, his congregation, they are in the Old Testament. They constantly read about the ecclesia. So just a more detailed look at how the New Testament and the Old Testament relate are, they're just very clear. And Ephesians 2 says that the dividing wall is broken down. We're one new man, and we are the temple of God. The Jews and Gentiles together, the one body, are the temple. Many, many verses like that. A true Jew is one inwardly, not outwardly, Romans 2. And surprisingly, the Galatians 4, you know, the dispensationalists, and I didn't tell you this, but actually after I got out of seminary, I went to a small Bible college and I was the teacher of dispensationalism. That's what I taught.
So, oh, the irony. So,
it is. That was my course to teach. So I had to work through these things. But then when I moved to Wisconsin, I really just began to restudy the scriptures for myself using good resources. And of course, one of the claims is there's a consistent literal hermeneutic. But it's literal when they might want it to mean physical Israel rather than a spiritual Israel. But Galatians 4 says this is an allegory. And you're like, that's a word you're not allowed to use, allegory. Yet Paul uses it. And he used the text in Isaiah 54, which was William Carey's great text, to strengthen your stakes. Lengthen your cords, because the Gentiles are going to be brought in. And this is it's really a continuation of the old prophecy before Abraham was called, was given to Noah, that Japheth will dwell in the tents of Shem. Japheth, the Gentiles, will dwell in the tents of Shem, in the Shemites, the Israelites. And they'll be one. So Galatians 4 quotes this passage in Isaiah 54 that the Gentiles will be brought in. And he's really explaining what Isaiah 54 pretty plainly says. After Isaiah 53, the cross, you have the resurrection, and then the calling in of the Gentiles. And the apostle quotes that verse. And then he says, the Jerusalem below is in bondage, but the Jerusalem above is the mother of us all. So you see the way the New Testament develops these themes. They really show the unity of the Bible, that Christ came and he's doing what he promised to do. The next thing, he comes back and we go into eternity. Now, I remember seeing a letter that Pink wrote in one of his letters, that to go back to an earthly 1,000 years, it's really a retrogression, but we have a progressive revelation. You'd be going back to the types and shadows. And we have, as Colossians says, we have the shadows are done away with because we have the substance, the reality. And sometimes the most surprising texts will, just a careful reading of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 9 says that they spoke of the good things to come, and then it says this, not of this creation. Not of this creation. So it's not an earthly 1,000 years. It is we go into eternity. And of course, the 1,000 years doesn't have anything to do with land, Israel. It's those who are beheaded for their witness. And they're reigning with Christ. Actually, Acts 20 is an encouragement to martyrs. The Romans were going to kill them, persecute them, and they really always mock believers and say, look at this person, they are, we got rid of them. But behold, they live and they reign with Christ in heaven right now. And so the word thousand is used figuratively so many times, like a cattle on a thousand hills. God's forgiveness is to a thousand generations. And it's often used that way. So for Revelation to use it in that way is not unusual at all.
Yes, and if you're going to insist on a wooden, literal interpretation, then you're going to have to come to the conclusion that God only owns the cattle on only a thousand hills. Not a thousand and one, not a thousand and two.
Exactly, exactly. And I remember, and I started seeing all these inconsistencies, and these are dear men that I love. They were my spiritual fathers, and you almost feel like you're talking against your family, but it's not them, it's what they believed. The truth, the scripture was helpful to me, buy the truth and sell it not. Whatever it costs to get the truth, it's more precious than anything. But I always continued to love these dear men who, as a new Christian, taught me. And, but one of the inconsistencies is all the time, dispensationalists study the tabernacle. And they describe Christ in the tabernacle in beautiful ways, even to the boards and the sockets all the way through. But then they say that that's, it's not the, that the New Testament was really a parenthesis. It wasn't spoken of. And it just doesn't fit. Also, you find that, I remember I came across the book by John Bunyan, Solomon's Temple Spiritualized. Well, you're allowed to spiritualize the tabernacle, but who's allowed to spiritualize the temple? Well, John Bunyan did. It's really a good book, showing how that these things were types and shadows of the good things to come, which are not of this creation. So I found that the apostolic hermeneutic is just a powerful, I just don't see how you can overcome the apostles' own explanations of the scriptures. It's a very powerful truth.
Amen. Well, let's go to some listener questions. Let's see here. We have Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina, one of our most faithful and most loyal and generous supporters of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina says, greetings, brothers. How did the men from your former church in West Virginia react and friends from Dallas Theological Seminary react when they found you were now in the covenant reformed biblical viewpoint, which I too believe is correct from my study of the Holy Scriptures?
Well, I'm thankful to say I have a friend who is, he's like your one childhood friend you stay with from kindergarten on, a dear brother of mine. And he respects me, and he doesn't get into it. I just think he is thankful to have an ongoing fellowship, and I'm surprised that he doesn't want to argue about it. I don't really either, but it's just, but others, they kind of lose track of you. I had a friend I was supposed to preach at his church, and we stopped there, and I talked to him about Ernie's book on the carnal Christian. It was a Southern Baptist church, and he said, if I preached that, I would lose half of my congregation.
Wow.
And I was supposed to be preaching the next morning, but he didn't mention it. So he kind of bypassed me. So that's the kind of things that happens. You lose some friends and they're content to let you go by.
Yeah, in my own life and relationships, the only time I get very uneasy about dispensationalism is when that has become the hobby horse of a pastor, a church, a denomination, etc. And when they become so militant in their views of dispensationalism that if you disagree with them on any of their viewpoints, every jot and tittle, if you do not agree with every jot and tittle, you are renounced as a liberal. You are renounced as even a heretic. Some will bar you from fellowship. And I think that that is really crazy. In fact, I would say the same thing about amillennial or postmillennial covenantal reformed Christians if they were to dismiss as heretics all dispensationalists. I'm not saying that there are no dispensationalists who are heretics, but they're not heretics simply because of their dispensationalism, especially if it's a more historic brand of dispensationalism. And when I use that term historic, I mean from the 19th century is when it really appeared. Now, just to ask you, because of the fact that many fundamentalists especially love the whole concept of that old-time religion, how do they react to the blatant historical fact that their theological system that they prize so heavily is not very old? I mean, as I said, it's really was given birth to in the 19th century, which is not that long ago.
Well, I think it's like what Ernie experienced by saying to the Southern Baptists, the original Southern Baptists were Reformed Baptists. They didn't want to hear it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's why Tom Askell has called his ministry the Founders Conference, because all the founders were Calvinists of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Right.
Okay, we have...
Now, there's one other major thing. If we have to go to a break, that's fine. But
no, we have a little bit.
The Second Coming. When you look at all the references to the Second Coming, it's not of a rapture. I mean, the word rapture probably is derived from 1 Thessalonians 4, the word harpazo, which means to grasp. And so those who are alive are grasped and taken up to heaven. But 2 Thessalonians 1 is a good example. It says that the believers will obtain rest with us when Christ appears in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. So you have the believers obtaining rest and the second coming in fire and judgment at the same time. So there's no pre-trib rapture there. So the second coming is one single event. It says, I will raise him up on the last day.
Well, yeah, John 6:40.
And 6, yeah. Then the another example is 1 Corinthians 15. The last trumpet shall sound and we shall be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. Well, if that's the last trumpet, there are not seven trumpets after it. So there's, when you look at the details of the second coming, every eye shall see him. There are all of these very clear verses.
No secret rapture.
Right. The blessed hope, they often say the blessed hope is the rapture and the glorious appearing is the second coming, but it's the same time. The blessed hope and glorious appearing is what we're waiting for. They're joined together in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, following. So when you look at all the references to the second coming, they're one single, majestic, final, consummative event. There's not two second comings. It's one.
So their argument against us, against all non-dispensationalists, that they are the only ones taking or interpreting the scriptures literally, they themselves fail that test because, as you were mentioning before, verses such as John chapter 6, verse 40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. The only way to interpret that literally is if it is the last day of the earth as we know it. And they somehow want to not interpret it in a literal fashion, even though they claim to be the champions of literal hermeneutics. And we also have some of the dispensationalists following the lead of Hal Lindsey, where, for instance, you have in Revelation chapter 9, verse 7, the appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads appeared to be crowns like gold, and their faces were like human faces. Tal Lindsey said that these locusts were Soviet helicopters. And, you know, so where is the strict literal interpretation there? And, you know, so that they so often fail at the very things that they say that they champion, and they say that we are guilty of disobeying.
And you have clear things like the apostle saying that rock which followed them was Christ. Well, that's a very spiritual understanding of Christ shepherding the people through the wilderness, and so he will us.
And why don't they adhere to a Roman Catholic understanding of the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper? Why do they not view it truly as the body and blood of Christ if they're taking such a strictly literal interpretation? It's funny how the Roman Catholic Church, one of the very few areas in the entirety of the Bible that they take literally, is that. But very, very puzzling indeed. We're going to our final break right now. It's going to be shorter than the other breaks. And again, if you have a question for Gary Carter on his departure from dispensationalism, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha Mega Ministries here. I'm very excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading down to Atlanta, Georgia again for the G3 National Conference. That's Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd, on a theme that I have been preaching, teaching, writing about, and defending in live public debates for most of my life, the sovereignty of God. I'll be joined on the speaking roster by Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Paul Washer, Virgil Walker, Scott Annual, and Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries. And there's more great news. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio can get you a 30% discount off the registration fee. Go to g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and enter promo code G3ISIR. That's G3ISIR for the 30% discount. Chris Arnson, I look forward to seeing you all Thursday, September 21st through Saturday the 23rd for the G3 National Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on the sovereignty of God. Make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnson while you're there. Go to g3min.org and enter promo code G3ISIR for your 30% discount off the registration fee.
The Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, once said, "Growing a beard is a habit most natural, scriptural, manly, and beneficial." Grace and peace to all the Iron Sharpens Iron listeners. This is Tony with TheStandardBeardCare.com. That's right, TheStandardBeardCare.com is a Christ-exalting, better-known and simple name in beard care. So if you have a beard, know a guy with a beard, or ladies, if you're married to a man with a beard, head over to TheStandardBeardCare.com. Check out the vast array of all-natural, handcrafted products to make that beard scriptural, manly, and beneficial. And when you do so, you will help to support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. When you use the promo code IRON at checkout, you will receive free shipping to anywhere in the lower 48, and 10% of your donations will go back to Chris Arnson and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So head over to TheStandardBeardCare.com, where the standard is the standard.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshiped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Atoy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com, that's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry valued at $100 or more to a listener in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience if they mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So whether it's a piece of jewelry you're purchasing that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a custom designed piece of jewelry created by them, like an engagement ring, like turning your church logo, your parachurch logo, your denomination logo, your seminary logo, or whatever else you wanted to turn into a piece of jewelry, no matter what your creativity and imagination can conjure up, RoyalDiadem.com will do a masterful job at that for you. And if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we get 100% of the profits. This is a limited time offer. We have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on that offer. So please make your purchase, or at least start the ball rolling to getting a piece of jewelry custom design at RoyalDiadem.com. Make sure you mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who says, Chris, you misspoke how Lindsay thought that the locusts described in the book of Revelation were not Soviet helicopters, but Cobra helicopters. Okay, I got the wrong side in the Battle of Armageddon there. Sorry about that. We don't have time for any more listener questions. I'd love to have you back on to continue this discussion, but I want you now, Pastor Carter, to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
Well, I think the thing it pressed upon me was the unity of the Bible. It's all scripture is profitable. And so to have doctrines that keep it from being profitable is doesn't seem to be wise. But the whole Bible is God's bread for his children. And you read it from cover to cover and you'll find Christ. You'll find what it means to walk with God, to know him. And so I left that for something better. I got more of Christ. I got more of the more of knowing God, a holy life. And so any that are listening and struggling with this, it's a good pasture. And if you're struggling with Revelation, I read the William Hendricks on More Than Conquerors. That was a great help to me. So there are good books that explain any things you think are difficult passages, but the big picture is that Christ is in the Old Testament, the New Testament. He's our shepherd, we're his sheep, and the whole Bible is yours. What a wonderful truth. The whole Bible is yours, dear brothers and sisters.
Amen. And if you want more information about Free Grace Church of Tampa Bay, Florida, go to TampaReformedBaptistChurch.com, TampaReformedBaptistChurch.com. That is the website for Free Grace Church of Tampa Bay. Thank you so much for doing such a spectacular job today as our first-time guest, Pastor Carter. As I said, I'd love to have you back on the show. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write. Please forgive me, all of you who are waiting to have your questions asked and answered, who were not able to get your questions on the show today. Hopefully we'll have Pastor Carter back on very soon and we can read those questions. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.